Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 290, a two-half-hour program titled The Japanese Economy and the Kido Organization, the Japanese Bormann Organization. Kido refers to Koichi Kido, who was the Japanese Keeper of the Lord, actually his precise title, was Lord Keeper of the Privy Seal for Emperor Hirohito during World War II. And Lord Kido helped to establish a flight capital organization for Imperial Japan, very much like the Bormann Flight Capital Organization about which I've spoken so many times. With, by the way, this is being recorded on April 8th of the year 2001, and the Japanese economy is in very bad shape, and there is a serious possibility that the Japanese economy may ultimately pull down the world economy, in which case we here in the United States are going to be in deep doo-doo. However, that remains to be seen. What we're going to be looking at in this program, in these next 2 half hours, are some of the historical roots of the Japanese economy, and just as is the case in Germany, those historical roots go back to the Second World War, to the capital that was plundered from occupied Europe in the case of Germany, occupied Asia in the case of Japan, and as is the case in both countries, a flight capital program was established which set up the basis for the post-war economic recovery and success of both countries. Our vehicle for entree into a discussion of the Kido Organization and the post-World War II Japanese economy is a remarkable article that appeared in the Financial Times of April 7th and April 8th of the year 2001. This article is about a series of Japanese bonds, or perhaps fraudulent Japanese bonds. It remains to be determined precisely which is the case. These appeared on the market in the early 1980s, and they've been a source of considerable controversy. One line of analysis and investigation has it that these bonds are the recirculated capital from fascist Japan during World War II, and that ultimately that capital was channeled by the United States and or elements of U.S. intelligence back to Japan in order to help fund Japanese right-wing groups in the post-World War II period. In a miscellaneous archive show entitled Japanese Fascism, Its History and Structure, we took a look at the evolution of fascism in Japan, and in particular the Japanese patriotic and ultra-nationalist societies that paved the way for the rise of fascism in Japan through a wave of political assassinations. Those organizations, the patriotic or ultra-nationalist societies, were a combination of religious cults, intelligence organizations, and organized crime syndicates. They worked for the Imperial Japanese National Security Establishment, and again, they helped to pave the way for the rise of fascism in Japan through a series of political assassinations which culminated in the May 15th incident. That was May 15th, 1932, when the Japanese Prime Minister and several other key figures in Japan were assassinated by the patriotic and ultra-nationalist societies. In RFA number 7, dealing with the Moon Organization, we took a look at the Unification Church of Sun Myung Moon as an extension of the Japanese patriotic and ultra-nationalist societies, because although the Moon Organization is nominally Korean, its political and economic roots are Japanese, and that's a subject we will be coming back to in the very near future. Let me stress at the outset that the first major item on tonight's menu, so to speak, or today's menu, is an article which deals with the post-World War II Japanese economy, with clandestine capital machinations, and with related political machinations. But let me stress that it remains to be determined precisely what is going on in this particular case. Let me underscore, however, that the cooperation between the U.S. political and intelligence establishments in the post-war period and the residual fascism in Japan is a matter of public record, and in particular, the LDP, or Liberal Democratic Party, became a repository for Japanese fascist elements in the post-war period, and the U.S. occupation forces under General MacArthur, and in particular his intelligence chief, Charles Willoughby, Major General Charles Willoughby, nay Karl Adolf von Zschäpe und Wiedenbach, a German-born fascist whose political idol was Francisco Franco, and an individual whose name crops up in a big, big way in connection with the assassination of President Kennedy. We looked at Willoughby in RFA RFA number 10. We took a look at him again in RFA number 11, number 15, and number 37. And we took a look at Charles Willoughby in connection with the book The Man Who Knew Too Much and an interview with Dick Russell, a For the Record program that's available from Spitfire. Time permitting, I'll tell you more about Spitfire later on in the broadcast. The article in the Financial Times, again from April 7th and April 8th of the year 2001, is titled Mischief or Conspiracy, subtitled Japanese Certificates Worth Trillions of Yen Have Been Turning Up in Financial Centers Around the World, but their origin is the subject of secrecy and controversy. Are they part of a complex political plot or a ploy to trap foreign investors? Gillian Tett reports, her last name T-E-T-T. The article reads in its entirety as follows. It looks innocuous enough. A simply worded warning about fictitious bonds sits on Japan's Ministry of Finance website. In fact, it is a gateway into a world swirling with explosive accusations of fraud, conspiracy, and political interference. The site carries a picture of what looks like a Japanese government bond slashed by two diagonal red lines and warns that such certificates have never been issued by Japan. But that hasn't stopped these mysterious quasi-bonds, unquote, from turning up in financial centers around the world. In total, their purported face value comes to trillions of yen. And their origin is the subject of mystery and controversy. Are these quasi-bond certificates part of a complex political conspiracy, or are they simply a ploy to trap foreign investors? One man is convinced the certificates are real. One man who is convinced the certificates are real is Norbert Schley, S-C-H-L-E-I, a senior U.S. lawyer and former advisor to President John F. Kennedy. In 1995, he was apprehended in Florida for handling these certificates and charged with securities fraud. In his defense, he told the courts the certificates were legitimate and owned by a dozen of his Japanese clients. Then, he dropped his bombshell by claiming Japan's Ministry of Finance had secretly issued the certificates in the 1980s to conceal a hidden political slush fund. And this slush fund was linked to money that the CIA allegedly had used to fund right-wing political groups in Japan as part of an anti-communist drive. Schley is now 71 and works from small law offices in Los Angeles, decorated with pictures of himself working with President Kennedy. He was given a 5-year suspended sentence in 1995, but the conviction was mostly overturned on appeal. Quote, I am absolutely convinced that these certificates were issued by the MOF, he still says. If he is right, and Japan's MOF, Ministry of Finance, vehemently denies his account, the repercussions could be huge. For a start, the Japanese hate the idea of the U.S. meddling in their political affairs. And there would be a marked reaction in the bond markets if it emerged that the MOF had secretly issued extra bonds. The ministry claims it is a simple case of fraud, with criminals using the certificates to fool naive investors. Quote, the idea that we could have secretly issued hidden bonds is crazy and shows how gullible people can be, unquote, argues one senior MOF official. But Schley's version of events is the one supposed to be in a book, yet to be published by Sterling and Peggy Seagrave, S-E-A-G-R-A-V-E, two U.S. authors who have written extensively on Asia. Quote, when the American and Japanese public find out what has been going on all these years, particularly with regard to covert financial mischief, there will be a huge public outcry, they say. In fact, finance and politics in Japan are deeply murky and the complete truth may never emerge. But there are two main theories as to where the bonds came from. The official explanation by the MOF is that a gang of Japanese crooks printed them in the 1980s. Some of the gang were convicted in Japan for fraud in the mid-1980s, given a suspended sentence, and have now disappeared. But these certificates were distributed to criminals overseas who continued the fraud, say Japanese police. Indeed, police records noted more than 20 occasions between 1986 and 1993 when foreigners were caught handling the certificates overseas, sometimes in connection with fraud cases in the UK and the US. It sounds credible, but contains odd details. No financial institution has ever admitted losing money as a result of these bonds, and the MOF did not declare the certificates counterfeit until 1993, a decade after they first appeared. It has also seemed reluctant to permit its bureaucrats to testify that the certificates were fake. At one trial in the U.S., an MOF witness disappeared early, and the tape recorder collecting his evidence broke. The ministry blames this on a misunderstanding, unquote. Another oddity is the certificate's design. Criminals usually make fake bonds identical to real bonds and in small denominations to avoid attracting attention. The quasi-bonds, however, do not even pretend to be a Japanese government bond, but an IOU of a type not seen in Japan. Each certificate is dedicated to a specific Japanese person and says it can be exchanged for 15-year bonds in the future via the Bank of Japan and, quote, and Daiichi Kangyo Bank as an agent of the bank, unquote. They claim to have been issued in 1982 or Showa 57 in the Japanese calendar. They are sometimes called Series 57 bonds by Americans. Their denominations range from 10 billion yen to 500 billion yen, a ridiculously large amount for a counterfeit certificate. But if that looks suspicious, the other explanation is far stranger and begins in the early 20th century when Japan invaded its Asian neighbors and looted vast wealth. After the Second World War, U.S. intelligence forces secretly seized the wealth and later used it to finance covert anti-communist operations, paying bribes, for example, to right-wing members of Japan's Liberal Democratic Party. Schley told the Florida court that in the post-war U.S., quote, "We came to feel that such payments were okay because the Russians were subsidizing the communists and socialists," unquote. In the 1960s, the U.S. returned control of this fund called the M Fund to Japan. Japanese politicians such as Kakui Tanaka, a former finance minister and later prime minister, grabbed it, stole large sums, and used it for their personal use and to buy political support with bribes. Quote, "For 25 years, Tanaka was known as the money man of Japanese politics. My clients say the reason he had so much money was he got control of this M Fund," Schley said. In the 1960s, Tanaka tried to hide some of the fund by buying JGBs and registering them in the name of his cronies and supporters. But in 1976, he was sucked into a corruption scandal and convicted of receiving bribes from the U.S. Lockheed Company. By the way, in RFA 7, we took a look at the Lockheed bribery scandal and the fact that a key figure, both with regard to Japanese fascism and the Japanese patriotic and ultranationalist societies, and also a key early operative on behalf of the Moon Organization, Yoshio Kodama, was centrally involved in the Lockheed bribery scandal. We also took a look at the fact that one of his cronies involved in the Lockheed bribery scandal was General Minoru Genda, who was given a medal by the United States Air Force for his role in the Lockheed bribery scandal. That scandal ultimately resulted in the purchasing of Lockheed aircraft by the Japanese Air Force. The awarding of a medal by Lockheed or by the United States Air Force to Genda for his role in the Lockheed bribery scandal is more than a little ironic and grotesque, because it was Genda who led the Japanese air fleet that attacked Pearl Harbor in the Second World War. Continuing with this analysis from the Financial Times of April 7th and 8th, speaking of Tanaka, in the following years, his cronies wanted extra money, and in the late 1970s, the Tanaka clique decided secretly to print what have become the disputed certificates as part of a complex financial scheme. Tanaka then double-crossed some of the holders of these certificates. In the mid-1980s, the MOF indicated it would not honor the certificates, and rumors circulated that the M Fund money had all been stolen. When some of the certificate holders believed they had been tricked, they began seeking ways to obtain financial compensation for their paper. This is where Schley says he became involved. He spent the 1970s and early 1980s working as a senior partner of Hughes, Hubbard & Reed, a Wall Street law firm representing blue-chip clients such as Howard Hughes, the billionaire, and Morgan Stanley, the U.S. investment bank. This followed a spell in the 1960s when he worked with Kennedy He is credited, for example, with having played a role in advising on the Cuban Missile Blockade. However, he decided not to go into politics full-time because he became disillusioned after President Kennedy was assassinated. I would note, parenthetically, a lot of people who may not actually be on the record understood the real meaning of President Kennedy's assassination, and it wasn't that some lone nut communist named Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy because he couldn't get enough sex. Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill President Kennedy, and he was an intelligence operative given a left cover and then framed for the killing. That helped keep liberals quiet because they thought that if the public perceived that a communist had killed the president, it would lead to a Third World War. But note here that Mr. Schley declined to go into politics. Norbert Schley declined to go into politics because he became disillusioned after President Kennedy's assassination. Continuing with this analysis, by 1985, he was semi-retired, but in touch with a Japanese businessman called Toshio Takahashi. Takahashi knew of several holders of the certificates who wanted to use a U.S. lawyer to press their claim against the Ministry of Finance. Schley said in court, "My clients felt that if they could prosecute their claim from outside Japan, they would do better than inside, because in Japan, the government controls the financial world so totally." Schley says he accepted the case, lured by promises of large fees, which he says he never received. And in the following years, he worked on the matter sporadically. He created a company in Panama to handle the certificates, and persuaded Alan Cranston, a U.S. senator, to ask the MOF to recognize them. He openly consulted the CIA and the U.S. ambassador to Japan and visited Tokyo, where he claims the Ministry of Finance held occasional negotiations with holders of the certificates. Most controversially of all, he tried to persuade non-Japanese institutions to buy the certificates for a nominal fee, apparently unsuccessfully. U.S. banks, such as Morgan Stanley, and government officials in Taiwan and South Korea were approached. Schley even attempted to involve the U.S. Astronauts Association. He says he approached U.S. banks, but not because he wanted to conduct a fraud, but because he believed that the Ministry of Finance would feel more pressure to redeem the certificates if they were held by foreign institutions. In the early 1990s, however, FBI agents approached three U.S. entrepreneurs who were contacts of Schley's client, Takahashi, and offered $100 million to buy some disputed certificates. A deal was struck, and the FBI arrested the entrepreneur for fraud. A year later, they dragged Schley into the case, arguing that he had handled the certificates as well. Schley denied knowing anything about the deal with the FBI agents, and says the case unfairly, quote, destroyed my life and career, unquote. The Seagraves agree. They say Schley was only involved in the case because he was a trophy, quote, catch, unquote, for the FBI due to his past links with the Kennedy administration and because some U.S. officials wanted to stop Schley asking potentially embarrassing, unquote, questions about the M Fund. Schley was unjustly charged and tried, they say. The FBI, however, insisted Schley was part of a criminal ring and that his explanation, unquote, for the certificates was just a cover for fraud. Indeed, parts of Schley's tale seem suspicious. He has refused to name his mysterious client, citing confidentiality clauses. No Japanese has publicly admitted to owning these certificates or openly come to his defense, nor have any U.S. officials backed Schley. By the way, I would add that fear might very well explain a lot of those things. It wouldn't necessarily be suspicious. People may just be flat-out scared. Continuing. Stanley Sporkin, a former CIA official, dubs the M Fund a crazy idea, preposterous, unquote. Daniel Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L, a U.S. diplomat, told the Florida court that it was totally unbelievable that such a conspiracy would have been in progress for decades without it becoming widely known, unquote. Well, there are a lot of conspiracies, such as the Borman Group and also the Kido Organization, the Japanese counterpart, that have gone on for decades, and although they have become known to some people, not many people will own up to it. The Kennedy assassination falls in a similar category. Continuing. At the same time, many parts of Schley's tale look plausible. The LDP has been engaged in corruption scandals in recent years, sometimes linked to violent Yakuza gangsters. Japan's national accounts are very opaque, and Schley is not the only foreigner talking about those certificates. Some former Wall Street bankers, who insist on remaining anonymous, note that, say that in the early 1990s they were hired by government officials in Paraguay who had acquired some bonds, unquote, and wanted to offset them against Paraguay's debt to Japan. They hired Alexander Haig, a former U.S. Secretary of State, to find out whether Japan's finance ministry would accept the deal. The Seagraves claim a deal was struck. An aide to Haig confirmed he held discussions on behalf of the government of Paraguay, unquote, but concluded that the project was without merit, unquote. Odder still, these bankers still hold documents about a welfare fund, unquote, or the alleged cover for the M fund. These papers tally with the quasi-bonds, unquote. These documents could be clever forgeries, but Edmund Lausier, L-A-U-S-I-E-R, assistant professor of business studies at the University of Southern California, thinks not. He has compared these papers with official records on Japanese government bond issuance. He says he did this because he heard Schley's story and likes solving puzzles, unquote. And he says his findings support the theory that Tanaka was playing financial games with the disputed certificates. But the most curious part of Schley's tale is the allegations about the CIA and the M Fund. There is no concrete proof that an M Fund did exist, since the CIA is refusing to release its files on Japan for the period, and most politicians allegedly involved are now dead. Even so, some U.S. academics suspect that an M Fund did exist. Quote, evidence of an M Fund between 1947 and 1972 rests on more than the statements of Schley and his clients, unquote, says Chalmers Johnson, a former professor at the University of California. In the mid-1990s, former CIA officers told the New York Times they gave funds to right-wing politicians in Japan, prompting criticism that the U.S. distorted Japanese politics. Or, as John Dower, professor of Japanese history at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, has said, quote, we look at the LDP and say that it is corrupt, and it's unfortunate to have a one-party democracy in Japan. But we Americans have played a role in creating that misshapen structure. Unquote. The CIA says it is unable to comment on whether it gave any funds to the LDP in Japan, and has no knowledge about an M fund under Japanese control. So where does this leave the mysterious certificates? Some foreign bankers remain convinced they are fake. After all, they argue, an M fund might have existed, but unconnected to the certificates. Quote, Japan is a paradise for fraudsters, unquote, argues one U.S. banker. On the other hand, some bankers believe the MOF may eventually be forced to honor the certificates. Meanwhile, the bankers involved in the alleged Paraguay-Hague discussions have found their own solution to the mystery, of sorts. They have written a novel, loosely based on their experience with the certificates. Ominously, many characters are murdered by Yakuza. By the way, those are the Japanese organized crime syndicates, and they have strong connections to Japanese financial and political and intelligence establishments. Our story was so weird that fiction seemed the best way to talk about it, one of the former bankers explains. Quote, who would believe it, unquote? In Japan, it seems, truth and fiction can be closely entwined. Well, that's true in more places than just Japan. So again, note that these mysterious certificates, which may very well be what are known as bearer bonds, and I would note that the financial vehicles for allowing what I call the Underground Reich to maintain control of the contemporary German economy through the Bormann Organization are, as we've seen in many programs, bearer bonds. I don't know if these are bearer bonds, but to my relatively untrained, financially untrained eyes, it would appear that that may very well be the case. I would also, although these are issued to particular individuals, so they may not exactly be bearer bonds as such, but I would note that this entire imbroglio is connected with the underground Japanese economy. that the reservoir of wealth from which this M fund appears to have sprung constitutes, as the Financial Times says, the other explanation is far stranger and begins in the early 20th century when Japan invaded its Asian neighbors and looted vast wealth. The explanation has been provided by some of the people figuring in this tale that the CIA confiscated much of that wealth and then used it to help finance covert anti-communist operations. The involvement of elements of the U.S. national security establishment in utilizing the Japanese fascists in an anti-communist capacity is a matter of public record. I would also note here that Alexander Haig, who was not only Secretary of State under Reagan, but who also was White House Chief of Staff for Richard Nixon, was the person whose services were requisitioned on behalf of Paraguay in order to realize these bonds as part of Paraguay's debt to Japan. And I would note that Bibi Rebozo, Richard Nixon's close friend and associate, had a lot of Borman capital run through his bank in Miami. And we're going to take a brief look at the connections between the Nixon White House and the Borman Organization. In the past, we've taken a look at the close connections between Paraguay and the Borman Organization. We're going to turn now to a book that we're going to rely on in the second half of this broadcast. It's called Martin Borman, Nazi in Exile, authored by Paul Manning, part of the CBS News team who covered the war in Europe with Edward R. Murrow. He took part in raids, air raids, over both Japan and Europe and trained as a gunner in order to do so and broadcast the surrenders of both Japan and Germany on the CBS radio network and then sacrificed his post-war career in pursuing accurately the remarkable and deadly Borman Organization from a journalistic standpoint. Martin Borman, Nazi in Exile, published in hardcover by Lyle Stewart, copyright 1981. And of the connections between the Nixon White House, Bibi Rebozo, and the Borman Group, we read, "The German South American group also had direct access to the Nixon White House through their representatives in Washington and were proud of the fact that Bibi Rebozo was President Nixon's closest friend. For knowingly or unknowingly, Rebozo processed millions of dollars through his Florida bank as part of, Rebozo processed millions of their dollars through his Florida bank as part of normal commercial operations." I would also note that Alexander Haig has strong connections with the Moon Organization in his post-Reagan administration career, and in RFAs 7 and 11, as well as For the Record 84, we took a look at connections between Japanese fascism, the Moon Organization, and elements of the right-wing establishment in the United States. We've been reading from an article titled Mischief or Conspiracy by Gillian Tett, T-E-T-T. That is in the Financial Times of London's weekend issue of April 7th and April 8th of the year 2001. Inside two of this program, we're going to take a look at the Kido Organization, the Japanese flight capital organization that provided the basis for the post-World War II Japanese economy. I've made allusion to other tapes available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's spelled S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, one word. They can be written to by regular mail at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. And by the time this program goes out to the stations that carry the broadcast, a detailed and annotated description of For the Record Program 290 will be on the Spitfire website in the For the Record section at www.spitfirelist.com. And Spitfire List is one word. Sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, is now compiling the For the Record programs on Real Audio. You can visit recent For the Record programs on their website at wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y. And older For the Record programs are available on a related website at http://archive.wfmu.org/archive/D-X/. That concludes Side A of For the Record Program number 290, The Japanese Economy and the Kido Organization. This is being recorded on April 8th of the year 2001. My name's Dave Emery.